Hey everyone, I'm Sarah Powers and you are listening to The Mom Hour. Happy weekend, happy holiday season. We have another of our encore presentations for you of one of our favorite holiday episodes from last year. If you've already binge listened to every episode of The Mom Hour, this is a rerun. But if you missed it, this is a great time to catch up on some of our holiday themed shows. So the episode you're about to hear, we recorded last year in 2015, and it's a really fun one. It's about all of Megan and my favorite things to watch, listen to, and read during the holiday season. That includes kids' books, it includes movies, it includes our favorite holiday music, and it's a really fun listen. So hopefully give you some inspiration for your own watching and reading and listening as we head into the final stretch of the holiday season. And we will link to everything that we mention in this episode in the show notes. I've created a new show notes blog post that'll be at themomhour.com. Look for Encore Holiday episode number 3. And if any of the links from last year are dead or going somewhere else, I will update everything and have it there fresh for you. And we're just so thankful that you're listening. I hope you're enjoying your holiday season. And here's the show. Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a mom of 3 kids, ages 2, 5, and 7, and I live in Southern California.
And I'm Megan. I am the mom of 5 kids, ages 6 through 17, and I live in Michigan. This is The Mom Hour, part of the Life Listened Network. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 31 of The Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here, as always, with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm in a great mood because we're talking about one of my very favorite things today, and that is holiday movies, music, TV, all of our favorite things having to do with the holiday. I'm totally unprepared. This is going to be completely off the cuff for me.
I know. Me
but
too.
I have a long history of, you know, all of these different things. So
I know you are. You and I are maybe a little opposite in this regard because yeah. I tend to be pop culturally illiterate, which is not to say that I haven't seen or listened to some of these things, but you are a wealth of knowledge, and am not.
I do tend to be a little stuck in the past, though, when it comes to this kind of thing. Like, I'm not always up on what the newest movie everyone's watching.
Oh, neither am I. But I'm like, deprived in both senses.
In both directions, like,
but
nothing coming in.
But you never know. Sometimes I come out and surprise you with
that's true.
Some obscure Hallmark
You'll
movie.
Have something. And you know what? You know, maybe there was some books. Those count, too. There's always great holiday scenes in books. So we can talk. You're like, yay, something I can talk about. So, Sarah, I feel like I could sit and talk about Christmas TV, movies, music all day long. But I'm just curious. We've talked about this on the show before, and you've definitely told me about this. But you, when you talk about your cultural illiteracy, it's because you didn't really watch a whole lot of TV growing up.
Yeah, I had limited TV and movies growing up. Not none. Not like off the grid. But we weren't. The TV wasn't just on. And this is going back to birth order, which we always seem to come to. I'm the oldest, which means I think there's a big difference between a younger kid growing up with siblings who are watching stuff versus an oldest, because I was the oldest. So like I didn't see and my parents were fairly conservative about the types of things I watched and the amount. So you combine all those factors and it wasn't like I didn't have a TV. But we, you know, we were only allowed to watch a certain amount per week. And it was, I was pretty sheltered being the oldest that I only saw things that were pretty age appropriate.
Right.
It was like, I know with my 3 kids, you know, we just took Violet to a movie in the theater that was the latest Disney Pixar movie. And she didn't even flinch at the things that my older kids would have been just hiding. You know, it's still kid appropriate, but she's just used to seeing more. And I'm sure it was the same with you growing up.
Oh, absolutely.
Clara. So that's part of it. I was the oldest. And then we just weren't a family where the TV was like on in the background. So when we watched something, it was intentional and it was usually age appropriate, which means I missed a lot of things. You and I are, I think, 3 years apart, 2.5 years apart,
but
we're like 10 years apart in pop culture because you had older siblings.
I did. Yeah. So, but I also think there something that was a little bit different about then and now is that, it was an event. I mean, it's not like every year I was watching all the very special holiday episodes of every new show that was out. But like every year, what the heck is the Charlie Brown one called?
I don't know.
It's the Maybe Great Christmas.
Charlie
what
Brown.
Is it? It's not the great. That's the Great Pumpkin. What? Oh my gosh, I can't think of it. Well, it's the Peanuts holiday special. Yeah. Every year we would watch that. Every year we'd watch Rudolph. Every year we watched The Grinch That Stole Christmas. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were others, but those are the three that really stick out as like those half hour. Oh, I think there was even a Garfield one that I liked a lot.
Okay.
Every year, you know, those half hour programs would come on and you would know about it mm-hmm. way in advance because there wasn't anything else to watch.
Right.
So like everyone watched those shows all on the same night.
Right.
It was a little more special. I kind of missed that a little bit. Yeah. Like, you know, I'd come home and it'd be like, oh my gosh, it's, you know, tonight is today the 7th of December or whatever right. day it was. Oh, on ABC tonight at 8 o'clock, it's going to be, I cannot believe it's The Great Christmas Charlie Brown is not right. I'm going to have to look. It's The Great Christmas Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Well, anyway, you would just know those shows were coming on
right.
and you would.
Yeah, remember looking in the newspaper?
Or right, or the, in the news or the TV guide.
Or the programming.
Or your friends would talk about it at school even. It was just a very different way of relating to television than my kids now, who can watch literally almost whatever they want on demand.
Right.
It's just so different. So those four shows were a big part of Christmas for me growing up. Now my kids don't really care that much about those shows. We'll still watch The Grinch. That's one that's kind
of. And The
of
Grinch is actually, of those four, the one that I remember watching. And I don't know why. I just missed the other ones. But
I also feel like now there's been some better, like, real Christmas movies that have come out. Mm-hmm. Like Elf, which is, you know, like such a crowd pleaser from anyone from parents down.
Right.
And so, but you can watch that whenever. So you really have the power to kind of create your own, which is nice in a way and something a little disappointing to me in a way.
And it's also, it can be a little like overwhelming if you have all the choices. So I found myself, I did look up the holiday program, the TVGuide.com holiday programming like list of all the network channels and what they're showing. Just because I was like, I just want to see it all in one place and know what to DVR for the kids or, because it is, if it's truly limitless, it's kind of hard to know where to start. So,
do you want to hear something really, really sad?
You check the newspaper? No,
no. I don't even always know how to get to the network TV on my TV. I have to have my kids help me because we have like 7 different remotes. It's one of those where we have the Roku or whatever or the Apple TV. I don't remember what we use now, but it feeds. You know, so we can watch YouTube or Netflix or Amazon or whatever. But that's all I know how to do. I don't know how to get back to the TV unless someone shows me how half the time. And I can also never find the TV remote because it's the smallest one that the kids just lose all the time. So I just get stuck in Amazon and Netflix half the time, which is fine with me because I, you know, I just don't really care that much for network TV anymore or even cable unless it's something I'm very specifically sitting down usually with John to watch.
Although you and I think are still kind of in the minority because I'm the same way, but I think you and I both have very techie husbands.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're in the online world ourselves. And so I, like, when I explain, like, we use Apple TV to get to Netflix, and I have friends, like, who are still just, you know, cable provider and DVR, you know, of course.
But it simplifies.
Streaming is still, like, not everybody's has, like, multiple streaming options going all the time.
A lot of people just do that on their iPads or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the point was that I was circling around to before I derailed myself is that, you know, what that also does is kind of opens up the idea of what makes a holiday movie. So like in our house, for some reason, the Harry Potter movies have always been considered Christmas movies.
I like that.
Even though they're not really Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, they came out at the holidays, I guess.
Right.
So my kids have been on a Harry Potter marathon all week. And so when they come, you know, when homework is done.
I love that.
They'll turn to that. Now, this is not like a family movie night kind of thing for me because I've already seen these movies so many
times.
And
they're like 87 hours long.
And they're so long.
Yeah.
So it's more like I'm making dinner in the other room and I can hear them listening to Harry Potter and I'll pop in every now and then and watch a scene and then walk back out. So, it's, you know, Clara's not really that engaged. It's too long for her.
Right.
She's not really that engaged the whole time. But the boys are definitely all in there watching it. And for them, that's a holiday thing.
I love that.
Another movie for us that's a big holiday one is Home Alone. We watch that every year.
I think my kids are ready for Home Alone.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Probably.
And that was definitely, I think it came out in 90 or 91.
Yeah.
So that
Macaulay Culkin, I think, is the same age as me. Or maybe a couple years younger.
Yeah, I feel it. Yeah, he's probably right in that window between
like
us.
Your age,
but yeah, that was like obviously a staple of our, you know, growing up tween, teen.
And you'll
was probably like already a classic.
Yeah. You'll probably find that Violet will be bored with that movie. But she'll think the parts were like the bad guys are falling down and getting hurt with buckets and stuff. She'll find that hilarious.
And I think the other kids will too. Like, you know, just the slapstickiness. And
now I have to say that's not that I didn't grow up in like in a super sheltered media family, but my mom was kind of a TV snob. And I have to say that that kind of stuff was absolutely like, she saw that as so lowbrow. what's the show where people just hurt themselves on video? America's Funniest Home Videos. Remember that show? When that came out, she'd be like, ugh, I can't believe this is entertainment. People just getting hit with things. So that movie, I don't remember when I first saw it, but it was not when it first came out. It was much later.
I do remember seeing that one in the theater, and I was probably pretty much the target audience, like, you know, demographic.
Right.
At that age. But yeah, that's a classic. No, I think this year my older two kids are ready for some of those that are not just, you know, I don't know, really little kid stuff.
Right.
What about the old animated ones? Because those are sort of weird and scary, Rudolph. Looking at you.
Do you mean all the ones that came out like after Rudolph, like that were all in that vein? Like by the same animators? Oh yeah, we have a kick. There's one of the, I want to say it's like ABC Family. One of the channels, one of the sort of like knockoff network stations plays like marathons of those.
Okay.
And there's ones I didn't even realize were a thing because, again, as a kid, you only really saw the ones that were promoted and came out every year.
I saw those, like the real classics as a kid. I think I've only seen them as an adult. Yeah. So like Rudolph is...
It's terrible.
Scary.
It's one of my favorites. But what, first of all, Santa's a total jerk.
Yeah.
He's mean. And is he the one who's like, isn't there a coach? I haven't seen it in a few years, but there's like a football coach or something. Or a track coach. They're all running at the beginning and the coach is super mean to Rudolph. And then Santa's mean to Rudolph. Santa or Rudolph's dad is mean. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still love it. It's for me, that's totally nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I love, you know, like a lot of the songs from it are on my Christmas playlist.
Nice.
Like Silver and Gold, which I think was Bill Ives.
Yes, yeah.
One of my favorites. But there's all these other ones. Like there's like Father Christmas, I think one is called. There's one where there's all these like elves and fairies in the woods. It's really creepy, but it's kind of fun to watch those with the kids because especially the teenagers are like so cynical about it. And they'll say, Mom, is this the kind of stuff you watched growing up? Like, really? I said, yeah, it is. Fun, huh?
Good times. Oh my gosh. So what about more like the last 10, 15 years of movies? I know that you're a Love Actually fan.
I love Love Actually.
I do too. I love it.
Although
love
I feel it. You can watch that at any time of year.
Yes.
It is a Christmas movie and it's one of my favorites. I watch that pretty much every year.
Such a good cast. I mean,
you know, and it's confusing because it's like so many storylines going on, but all of the storylines I thought were so charming that I never got bored of them. Now, we had a couple American knockoffs of the concept, which I thought were both terrible.
Which
New Year's Eve and Valentine's Day, which were also like sort of star-studded casts. Love stories, lots of different things going on, but it was all supposed to come together at the end, and it just didn't.
Never did.
It didn't gel.
That's why that movie is so, and there's some like heavier, more adult things in Love Actually for sure, but it has like an innocence about it almost.
It does.
Like it's, you know, it's like feel good, and yet there's some depth. So what's your favorite storyline in Love Actually?
I think my favorite storyline, okay, well,
let me see if I know what you're going to say. I'm going to guess what you're going to say.
Oh, no, I don't. This is too. Okay, so I have a couple favorites, but the one that gets me super hard in the feels is, I can't think of his name, Snape, Professor Snape. And, Alan Rickman. And, oh my gosh, why can't I think of these people's names? Emma Thompson.
I'm nailing it.
Gosh, look at you, Sarah. And Emma Thompson and like the part where Both Sides Now is playing and she realized that like her husband didn't get her the necklace.
Yeah.
And I will sob my face off.
So sad.
She's so good, too.
Yeah.
She's so good. And then she kind of pulls herself together. But I actually kind of think I like the Prime Minister and the ditzy girl. I don't know.
That's actually my favorite.
Is it?
Yeah.
But I also love Colin Firth.
You have to pick a favorite, then you remember. Because the Liam Neeson storyline's pretty great, too.
Oh, they're also good. I can't pick a favorite.
I totally thought you were going to say the couple engaged in filming a movie.
Of adult movies?
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I think that's cute, but for me, that's kind of like I forget about it. They're just not as big enough. There's not enough through line or something there. I don't know. Just didn't get me. I do love the scene where the Brit goes to Wisconsin.
Yes, I was just going to say that. And have you noticed
why do they all have Southern accents?
Have you noticed that one of those girls is January Jones?
Yes. When I went back and watched it after I started watching Mad Men, I was like, what? Oh my God, it's January Jones.
And also, how does she look exactly the same?
I know. That. And the movie is like 20 years old or something.
I know. I think she's too.
So that is what's so funny to me about that is why do the girls in Wisconsin have Southern accents and why are they wearing cowboy boots? It's like the British guy's crazy weird dream about what
fantasy.
Wisconsin would be like.
It's like the Europeans distorted fantasy exactly. view of America. But it's too great that they picked Wisconsin and it's amazing. The whole thing is great.
We spent a lot of time talking about that and now I feel like I'm giving away plot points. But
that's okay. If you haven't seen Love
Actually, haven't seen it, you know, it's too late for a spoiler alert.
Watch it because what are you thinking? I
also have to throw a shout out for Colin Firth in this because although the storyline I felt was a little weird with him and the girl who doesn't even speak English,
he does
at one point, I think, take his shirt off and jump in the lake.
Yeah.
He at least jumps in the lake.
Yeah.
I don't remember if his clothes are on or off, but I do love Colin Firth a whole lot. So.
Yes. Yeah, that is a great movie. And the soundtrack is great. I remember having like the CD of the soundtrack and playing that pretty much year round. But like, obviously the Christmas numbers are great. You get a few of them stuck in your head. What's the actor's name that plays the washed up rocker?
I can never think of it. He's great.
Yeah.
The one who does the really bad like Robert Palmer remake of whatever Christmas song it is. I don't remember what it is now.
Yeah.
Yes.
We saw him or someone who looked like him in something else recently and
I just saw him too in something recently and was like, oh, I remember that guy. And he looks kind of the same.
Yeah. And I can't remember, what his name is. So
another great storyline. Oh my gosh. See, there's even more, which also featured someone who was a surprise when I kind of saw him again is the guy who's in love with his husband's, new wife. Uh-huh. And she doesn't think he likes her, and then he comes and shows the cards. That's the guy from Walking Dead.
Oh, I haven't seen Walking Dead.
But looks like the most baby-faced baby version of him. So you almost can't even tell.
Right.
I can't think of his name. I'm terrible with actors' names. I can't think of his name. Andrew something, I want to say.
Okay.
But when you see him like all rugged in Mad Men, and then Walking Dead, and then you go back and see him in that, where he just looks like this little curly-haired, like kind of soft-faced baby. Yeah. It's hilarious. It's almost unrecognizable, but it is him. Should we move on?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Hey, here's another movie I just thought of that I keep forgetting about, but it's kind of a holiday movie. It's Groundhog Day. Have you ever seen Groundhog Day?
Oh, I love Groundhog Day.
And then
as a Christmas movie at all because Groundhog Day is in February.
But, oh, you know what? You're right. Okay, so it's not Groundhog Day I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of a different Bill Murray movie then.
Oh.
That does make sense. It would take place on Groundhog Day. Oh, it's Scrooged, which is a Christmas movie, and that's great.
I feel like maybe I've seen it once. That falls under like
that's the 80s. You would have missed. You would have missed all that.
Yeah, that is great.
Okay, so Elf, we've already covered. Have you seen Elf?
I have seen Elf, but I would like to see it again. I think I saw it when it came out once, but it hasn't been like a classic replay. I'm trying to think of what else. Well, we should probably move on to music and
other I'm media. Sure movies and things and other TV will pop into our heads as well as we go.
I have one more question. Have you seen the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch? Is it is it missable or is it okay?
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm
loyal to the
I'm a loyalist and a purist. I don't feel like that movie needs to be 2 hours long.
Right.
You know, a half hour really does pretty much cover it. Or I guess 22 minutes if you count commercial breaks. I mean, Jim Carrey's great. I like him. I think he did a good job. I just think it kind of got a little bloated.
Yeah.
You know, as happens when you take something.
Try to improve something that doesn't.
That doesn't need it. I would always watch the cartoon if I had to pick.
Yeah. Well, we're definitely loyal to that. And I will say just on a completely different note, if you have really little kids who aren't ready for any of this, that we have just been enjoying just the Mickey Mouse holiday specials. And I don't know if there's like Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas, Twice Upon a Christmas. They're like an hour exactly. And even the big kids like them. So
don't they do a Disney Christmas Carol too? That's good. Have you seen the Disney Christmas Carol?
Well, and it's confusing to me, first of all, because confession, people, I don't sit down and watch this with the children. So that's why I never quite know exactly what I'm talking about.
So you're watching, wait, you're watching them by yourself? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, I'm not watching them at all. Like I put them on.
Okay.
I'm not watching them with them. So I don't.
Got it.
They're watching them. Anyway, so I don't know exactly, but yes, there is a Christmas Carol. And I was explaining the gift of the Magi the other day, that story.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, we know this. It's just like in Mickey and Minnie. He gives her the harmonica and she gives him. So there's like a whole gift of the Magi. So I don't know if those are shorts that are, that make up the whole like Christmas special maybe. But all three of my kids like them at ages 2, 5, and 7. And then they like the Curious George Christmas special too. So if you have really little ones and still want to feel like you're giving them kind of a holiday movie, I think those are cute. And they're on Netflix. The Mickey ones are. The Curious George one is too. So
before we move off of Disney, off of movies, I feel like there's must be more full length Disney feature films that are Christmas related. There must be. I feel like that's another thing that's different now, obviously, than when we were kids, but Sunday nights used to be the night you would sit down and watch the Disney Family Movie Hour or whatever it was called back in those days. And like everyone I knew did. And I just feel like this time of year, there must have been some Christmas programming on there. Yeah. But I don't know.
Blank.
Yeah, me too. I also want to ask, and I have no idea because I don't know of any, honestly. But if someone does not celebrate Christmas, but celebrates a different winter holiday, mm-hmm. have you seen any programming? I mean, I know Adam Sandler has a cartoon that I think is actually family friendly. Called like Eight Crazy Nights.
I don't know, but we should ask our listeners on Facebook or something and get some recommendations before the show notes. Or if you're listening to this now and want to comment, we would love that.
Yeah, because I think that there's got to be stuff out there that, you know, and I'd like my kids to see those too. I just never think about it. It's not in front of us.
Yeah.
So whatever Christmas or whatever winter holidays people celebrate, there must be programming for those, even if it's not getting in front of us on Netflix or whatever. So please give us your recommendations.
Yeah, let us know. And then I know we're supposed to move on, but I have to ask you, have you ever seen the TV movie, made for TV movie with Mary Steenburgen called One Magic Christmas?
No.
Okay, so this is my
obscure. Sounds like something on Lifetime.
It would, if it was on today, it would have been a Lifetime movie. But it was on, probably came out in like 84 or 85.
Oh, wow, okay.
It was a long, I mean, when we were kids. And it was made for TV movie and Mary Steenburgen plays a very stressed out, unhappy mother. And it's the storyline is terrible. And so there's an angel sent to sort of like teach her that she, you know, everything she needs in life is right in front of her. And she's this kind of bitter, ungrateful. So the angel kidnaps her two children and makes her think he's driven them into the river.
Nice.
So like half the movie is her panicking, thinking that this kind of weird guy like took her kids while she was in the grocery store. And then at the end, she's happy because that didn't happen. But this was a major, either I remember it really well because it was so disturbing, or I just wasn't allowed to watch that many movies. But later in my 20s, I kept asking people if they had seen it. And like you, who have seen many movies, nobody knew what I was talking
about. No, this is not ringing a bell for me. I love that actress, though.
I like her too, and she was great. And the beginning of the movie has her like singing in the shower to stop in the name of love, and then like her kids are banging on the door, and she can't even like finish her shower singing in peace.
That's hilarious.
Which the whole thing is hilarious. I forget who plays the husband, but it's someone else famous. Like it's someone we would be like, oh yeah, classic 80s.
Like the guy who was on Coach or something.
I guarantee that some listeners have seen this movie because there are.
You know, the more you talk about it, the more I think probably I have, and I'm just blanking it out.
So I think in my 20s sometime, Brian tracked it down on VHS when there were still some VHS and some DVDs. So I might even own it on VHS because it did. I was like on a mission to prove it existed because no one I knew had ever heard of it. And I was like, you guys, I don't even know any normal movies, but I know this one. So listeners, if you're a One Magic Christmas fan, I am.
One Magic Christmas, please connect. Please connect because Sarah really needs your support. Wait a second. We can't move off movies yet. We haven't even gotten to the tip of the iceberg yet. What about old movies?
Well, like this is where it's all you. Cause I somehow just haven't seen enough of them, but I want to this year. I want to.
Okay. Well,
I have seen It's a Wonderful Life, but only like as an adult and only maybe once or twice.
What about A Miracle on 34th Street?
Isn't that terrible?
Neither version. Okay. So this is one where I will say, Yeah, I think it's great, but I think that the remake in the 90s is just as good. And I usually don't say that, but I think the remake is really, really good. And it has that adorable girl in it, Mara, that child actress.
Just watch Matilda with her. Which,
yeah, Matilda. She's great and super cute. And the woman who plays the mom, who was one of those kind of 80s, 90s actresses whose name's, I think I want to say Elizabeth something. I don't know. It's all just kind of a wash for me, but she's in it. She's great. It's a good remake, and it's just contemporary enough,
right,
that it makes it, you know, I don't know. Another kid movie that is Christmas oriented, which was a remake, was the new Annie that came out last year. And technically, I don't think that's a Christmas movie, but they kind of billed it as one. Right. I want to say, because I think we went and saw it last year in December. And I thought the remake was fantastic. It is not the original Annie. So if you're looking for the original Annie, watch the original Annie. This is a kind of like hip hop modernized New York City version of it.
I remember when it came out.
I really enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. And but I went in knowing what I was getting. There's new songs, some of which weren't that awesome. But they did a really nice job. I thought they kind of updated a lot of the music so it was still the old music, but they kind of added to it, which was fun. But it doesn't have to be one or the other. That's one thing that I think is funny when people get really weird about remakes. It's like, you can enjoy both. Right. It's okay. You don't have to pick.
And sometimes what you encounter first, I think about this, like when it's like the Broadway music that you and I both love, like whichever one you encounter first sort of becomes like your original. Does that make sense? Like sometimes you just happen to see the newer one first, and it's okay to attach to that because that's what you saw.
Right. That's absolutely true.
You don't have nothing. Everything doesn't have to be like sourced to the original.
Exactly.
What about Polar Express? Have your kids seen Polar Express? Did that come out when your kids were a little bit younger? I feel like it's
10 years old.
Yeah, I think it's about 10 years old.
We've had it on in the house. Like, it's one of those we'd rent for the kids to watch. I don't like the animation. I find it very creepy.
I think the animation is creepy. I feel like Tom Hanks is like in my house stalking me a little bit.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Here's how I feel. When I read that book, which I love to read aloud, it's like very calm and soothing. And I feel like the movie is the opposite. The whole time it's stressful. It's like the train is going to like go off the tracks.
It is. Right. And it's another one of those things where it's a book that you can read in 10 minutes or 15 minutes, and it's a 2-hour long movie or however long it is. It just doesn't need to. It felt unnecessarily stretched out to me. I was not a huge
unnecessarily
fan. Dramatic.
Added stress and drama, and I find the book so peaceful.
Yeah.
And the movie very stressful.
Oh my gosh, this just brought another thing. Have you ever seen The Snowman?
No.
Okay. If you want a peaceful movie for your kids, that's awesome.
Okay.
Find it. I don't even know if it's available. Okay. I know you can find clips of it on YouTube, which I will do. I don't even know if there's any dialogue.
Oh, interesting.
It's all about this boy who goes to bed and wakes up in the middle of the night or something. He has a dream that his snowman comes to life, and they just go on this like magical adventure. It's like a half an hour long.
Is it newer or older?
No, it came out like in the late 70s or early 80s.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 80s. And it's really awesome animation. And the music is done by this children's choir, like a boys choir.
Oh, nice.
It's hauntingly beautiful. And I forgot all about it to just this moment, but I'm going to find it.
I'm writing that one down. Yeah. Well, I'm going to write all this.
If you need some peaceful stuff to watch after your kids are all freaked out by the Polar Express, you can watch The Snowman. that came to my mind because I was just thinking about like what, you know, did I watch in my house? We definitely had a collection of VHS tapes, some of which came out. Oh my gosh. A Christmas Story.
Oh yeah.
This is what happens when I don't write things down.
Another movie that I wasn't really allowed to see when I was really little. So then I saw it kind of later, as a teenager.
That is a classic for us. We watch that every year.
And what about Christmas Vacation?
And yes, we watch that every year. I mean, not at all kid-friendly, although now most of our kids have seen it. It's really not kid-unfriendly. There's really nothing dirty. Unlike the other vacation movies where there was a little sex and stuff, this one, I don't think the Christmas Vacation has any sex. It has one one or two instances of swearing, but not super terrible. There's like one part at the end where Clark freaks out and like goes on this crazy rant and says the F word. It's just one of those silly, goofy, there's enough kind of slapsticky stuff to keep the kids happy. It's a good one. We watch that every single year, and we watch A Christmas Story every single year. And that to me is this like classic family, you know, we have so many one-liners that I've been saying since I was like 7 years, you know, it's fragile. I mean, that's been saying that since I was a little kid, to the point where you don't even always remember where it came from.
From my perspective, because I don't think I saw it till I was older. Like then you watch it and realize you understand what everybody's been saying this whole time. That's what it's like to be me.
Another one that we watched every year, which is a little more obscure, was called The Homecoming, and it was the cast from the Waltons.
Oh.
But like they were, because I definitely remember John Boy and Jim Bob were in it, but I want to say the mom was different. I'll have to look up that one because it was a good movie, but I don't really remember now what it was about. And that was when my mom busted out every year. And then two more I should mention. The 80s version of A Christmas Carol is fantastic. It's a musical. And I can't remember
who's
if
it's in it.
Man. I don't even remember if it's called A Christmas Carol. It's just, are you Googling right now? Google like 80s musical Christmas Carol.
Okay.
The actors are famous. You would totally know who they are.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
it's got this almost song at the end, like, thank you very much. And it's great.
Yeah, I kind of almost remember. Yeah, 1984. Plot cast.
What's it called?
It's called A Christmas Carol. Oh, this one, at least.
All right.
If this is the right one, George C. Scott.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
Yep, that's it.
I didn't recognize his names at first.
It does say musical, right? I mean, I just know that it's a musical and it came out in the 80s. So that, and then I do, you know, going back to the old days, I do like watching every year. What ends up happening is Christmas Eve, after John and I kind of do all of the deeds that need to be done. And, you know, I'm not talking about doing the deed. I'm talking about doing the Christmas Eve deeds. Get my head out of the gutter. We end up sitting down in front of the TV, and there's always It's a Wonderful Life is on. He had never seen it until a couple of years ago. And if you can get past the fact that the commercials make it like eight hours long.
Yeah.
It's fine because you got other stuff going on anyway. It's Christmas Eve where you got to get someplace else to go. And it was so funny because at the end when, you know, everyone's giving him back the money. Again, it's a spoiler, but I'm sorry. If you haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life yet, too bad for you. They're all giving him the money. And I look over and John's got like these big tears in his eyes. And he's just like, oh my God. So I kind of like watching that with him. And then there's always there's Holiday Inn and
White Christmas.
And those are fun to watch too. And they're often on AMC or another one of those older movie channels.
When I lived in Chicago in my 20s, we went to a White Christmas sing-along at one of the big old theaters.
Yeah.
Up on the north side. The Chicago people would know which one I'm talking about, on Southport, I think. And it, like, the whole theater was filled with people, and it was a sing-along to White Christmas. Oh, like, you'd go so to, fun. Like, a Sound of Music sing-along or something. It was really fun.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think I'm ready now. I got it all out. I purged it. I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting.
I know. We probably forgot like the really obvious ones.
Right. But, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm sure I haven't seen them. So
let's talk about books, because I think that's something that can have kind of a Christmassy focus, even if it's not a Christmas book. This time of year, I kind of always want to read the Little House books. There's like almost every one of the Little House books has a Christmas scene in it.
Yes.
Of some sort, which were some of my absolute favorites. Like,
oh my gosh.
On the Banks of Plum Creek, where they go to the church Christmas.
Oh yes. That's a good one.
And Laura gets the fur cape. And
yes, from the bin.
Because she was super jealous because Nellie Olson had one that she was always bragging about.
Oh, and what about when Mr. Edwards traipses through and like pretends to be Santa Claus and they each get
the tin cup and a penny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just watched
a stick of Whorehound candy.
The TV show. I still never And heard. That scene is pretty similar in the TV series. If I had seen that, it's been too long, so. It's cute. Yeah, those are very holiday reminiscent. I'm trying to think of.
Well, we talked about the Polar Express as being.
Yeah, so we have a ton of children's Christmas book, and that's sort of like a tradition or a collection. I'm finding that this year, it's not like they don't want to be read to storybooks, but there's just the older two can read. So it's like, I'm like, come on, sit down, listen to a story.
But gather around old Mammy's knee. And
it's going to pay you to sit down and listen. But Violet will. And so we love Polar Express. One of my favorites that's more recent that has that same peaceful storybook quality is called Christmas Magic or The Christmas Magic. I'll link to it. Okay. If you see it, it's always in the front of Barnes & Noble and stuff. It has a Santa who has this blue, he looks like Merlin, a blue, and that like totally threw my kids when we got the book. They were like, it's not Santa. And that's what I kind of like about it. It's this very kind of mystical way to imagine the North Pole and Santa. And it's all about Santa getting ready. But it's not about the presents, and it's super like the opposite of commercialized Santa. It's very, it's just totally imaginative. And it's about how he gets the reindeer ready and shines his sleigh. And just the language and the pictures are so peaceful. It's one of my favorites. So I'll link to that one.
That's good. I can always use more of that kind of stuff. Because I feel like we have just this kind of nameless rabble collection of, you know, kind of random Christmas books for the kids, yeah. none of which, not many of which have really stood out.
Well, and here's a trend I have to say in Christmas storybooks is the aim to get grown-up nostalgia to buy the book because there are so many that are conceptually beyond little kids, but then they're sold as storybooks and it's because they tug at the heartstrings. Right. And there's some really good ones. We have one about, I think it's fictional. I don't think it's true, but it's about where the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree came from, or maybe it's kind of based on a true story. And you're like crying huge crocodile tears at the end. But the kids don't get it. So it's like one of those, you know, where, and I do think that there's some of that. Now, that's not a problem. If you just like to have, they're beautiful often, but they're not always the ones that the kids like. So yeah, we have another one called Oh, What a Christmas. That's totally cute and funny. And if you have probably preschoolers, the reindeer get lost. And so Santa rounds up farm animals. And that one's really cute. That one's very light and, you know. Appeals to the preschool crowd.
I had a really cool one I just thought of that was about the nativity. And it's just like, I'm going to find it and we'll put it in the show notes. But I want to say it's this hugely pregnant Mary, but it's like very whimsically drawn. And I'm pretty sure a midwife gave it to one of my kids a gift like a long time ago. So that would probably tell you a little bit about what. Because I just laughed so hard I choked on my own spit. But it's like this very kind of earthy, birthy interpretation of the nativity. Let's just put it that way. So, but I like it. The pictures are cool. It's very different. So I'll find a link to that one and we can
get that one as well. That is a good one.
So if you have a pregnancy in your house right now, it might be a fun one to read to the older kids.
Yeah, that is. My final pregnancy, I was very pregnant at Christmas. So it does add some meaning.
I've only been pregnant at Christmas one time.
Yeah, because you had all your babies right before.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. Well, I was pregnant at Christmas all three times, but I was about like 20 weeks. I would say I was about halfway or thereabouts with the first two times where I was, I mean, Violet's born January 21st. So I was more than 8 months pregnant the last time. So I was very merry. Do you have any of the Jan Brett Christmas books? And it might even be Jan.
That name sounds very familiar.
You'd recognize the illustrations probably. And, they're really cool. They are, I don't know, I'm just going to mess them up culturally, but it's definitely like, I want to say Eastern European kind of either like Russian, Polish.
Oh yeah. The mitten.
Yeah. The mitten. Yeah.
And I think she is from Michigan. I think that's why the mitten, I'm looking at her picture right now. Anyway, go on. I'm pretty sure she's from Michigan though.
Okay. So not.
Oh Eastern no, Europe. Sorry. Massachusetts. There's another Michigan artist. Okay. Writer who has similar.
But those are really fun, especially for my like California kids, because they're super wintry.
Yeah.
There's one about a troll, like a little fable kind of about a troll who goes off and they're not, you could almost keep some of them around year round because they're more wintry than Christmassy. Those are fun. So
have you personally read A Christmas Carol?
I haven't.
Okay. So have you read much Dickens?
I have not.
Okay.
That's if one you of my need, shameful secrets no, it's fine. English major.
Neither. If you need a Dickens, like a way to ease in on the Dickens or a way to just say you've read some Dickens, read A Christmas Carol. It's short. It's really an easy read. Plus, you already know the story.
Yes.
So it's kind of easy. You know that way that the old Elizabethan or whatever era that was, that English is really easy to kind of get lost in and you lose the plot entirely.
The sentences are like three pages long.
Yeah. And this one, I mean, you know exactly what's happening. So you never lose. And it's short enough. You could probably finish it in a couple of, you know, evenings of leisurely reading. It's not hard at all. And then it actually kind of inspired me to read more Dickens, which was kind of fun. Because before that, I had started several Dickens books.
Because I feel like no one should have a degree in English literature, mostly specializing in British literature and never have read Dickens.
But you know what? I've tried. Like, I started to read A Tale of Two Cities, and I got into a few chapters, and I liked it, but it's like I'd be reading late at night, and my brain power just wasn't there. So this was kind of a nice way to just get a grasp on it.
That is good.
It's fun. It's a fun kind of quick-ish adult read that probably even kids, teen or an advanced, you know, maybe even preteen reader, if they already know the story, that might be a nice way to kind of ease them in on that too.
So. Yeah, that's good. Now I'm inspired.
You're going to do it now.
I will let you know. Okay. I will let you know if I read it. Should we talk about music?
And it's free on Kindle too.
So. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, let's talk about music.
Music and or the Nutcracker. You choose.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's do both.
Okay.
Let's quickly talk about the Nutcracker.
Start with the Nutcracker? Okay. Yeah. I know you've taken Clara a couple times, yeah. And I know, like, for a lot of people, it's sort of like Christmas tradition. So, yeah. I obviously grew, obviously to you, maybe not to everybody, but grew up dancing and performing. I didn't really start performing in the Nutcracker until I was like college age, because my ballet studio growing up did a different holiday production because there were like four Nutcracker. It was a saturated Nutcracker market. And so our studio had always done a different holiday, show. So I didn't start performing in Nutcrackers till I was in my 20s, but then I did it, you know, Christmas after Christmas. And if you've grown up in the dance world, it does not feel like Christmas until either until Nutcracker starts or until it's over. Because right. once you're, when you're performing, like, you know, from performing in shows, like you can't get anything else done. I mean, I wouldn't even start my Christmas shopping or do anything until it was over, which sometimes was, you know, the third week in December or whatever. But, yeah. That is one thing I've, come to appreciate more recently is the 90s Macaulay Culkin New York City Ballet movie version, which I totally poo-pooed as a snob before. Mm-hmm. But we watched it last year, and there's like certain things that you just have to get over that are weird and annoying. But the dancing is good, and the kids actually like it because there's more close-ups of faces and stuff.
Yeah, I remember watching that and really enjoying it.
Yeah, I think from a ballet perspective, it annoyed me because the camera cuts are so different than what it's like to watch a live show. And there's like a million close-ups of Macaulay Culkin's face, like at every at every reaction, which just isn't how it works. But my kids really liked it. And I think kids respond more to those like facial cues and character stuff.
Yes, I think you're
totally right. But it's New York City Ballet. So the, I mean, the dancing is actually really, really good. It's just not what it's like to watch. I think I have a VHS version of the American Ballet Theater Nutcracker with Baryshnikov and Gelsey Kirkland, mm-hmm. which was like a big deal at the time. It's like 1978. And that's the one I like to watch, but it's completely weird. Like, and it's not fun to watch if you're not a ballet person. So, but you can check out Nutcrackers, like any version, if you want to show your kids or just, you know, watch it for something else to put on. You can check them out at the library. I'm sure there's different versions on, you know, all of the streaming services we've talked about. So even if you can't go, and then the score, of course, is beautiful.
I will say this is the fourth or fifth year we're taking, probably the fourth that Jenna and I are taking our girls. So we took Clara and Ruby. Clara was three the first time we went. So three, four, five. Yeah. So this will be the fourth year. And we go up to Grand Rapids and go to the Grand Rapids Ballet generally, and they just kind of reimagined it last year. So Chris Van Elsberg, who wrote The Polar Express and other children's books, is from Grand Rapids. So they worked with him to like completely kind of imagine the staging and the scenery and the set. It's awesome. It looks like they're inside a storybook. So like around,
that's really cool.
I don't even know what they call it, but like around the proscenium and down on the sides, there's all these huge illustrations of mice, like the Rat King and all that stuff. But they, at some point, there's little animations built in. And when I first heard about this, I thought, oh, geez, another, you know, we're pandering to kids who can't sit still, da-da-da. But it actually, it is hard for kids to sit still that long for that show. It's hard for me to sit still that long for that show.
I mean,
show.
There's so much that's boring. Just there like is. Any, there's so much that's boring.
And the dances go on forever.
Yeah.
But the there's just little things like snowflakes fall in the on the sides. It's big. It catches their attention. Yeah. And it just makes little parts just that much more fun and interesting to watch. So I've really enjoyed it. Now this year we're taking Luna too, who's not quite yet four. Wait a second. She is four. I don't even know. I don't even know how old my own kids are. She's four. She'll be five in the spring. So she's going for the first time because we kind of made it an older girl's thing. And so we're hoping this year that it's going to work out. We're also doing the matinee this year. We've always done the evening show.
Oh, that's nice.
And we realized that like by the time we eat dinner and get there, the girls are falling asleep by, you know, halfway through the second act. So we're doing a matinee this year. Then we'll go eat.
And stuff. That works. I know that if you're wanting to take your kids to any kind of like Nutcracker or just a holiday play, check like community colleges, like the local dance schools, because obviously tickets will be cheaper and your kids don't need to be at the Met or see the Rockettes. And I think the holidays are a fun time to make that. Like, if seeing live theater is kind of on your like parenting bucket list, this is a good time, but it doesn't, you don't have to shell out for the big shows when they're little, because it just takes, you know, it takes practice to know how to get through that kind of stuff.
Another live theater recommendation, I guess. I was in a production of The Christmas Schooner last year, and now I'm seeing it everywhere. Like, it's popping up all over the place. It was a Chicago thing, but I think they must have just released the rights to it, like, in the last year or two outside of the theater where it originated, because now I'm seeing it everywhere. That is a really fun family show. It's a little, the material's a little intense for really young kids, but definitely 10 and up, I would say, maybe even 9 and up, can definitely handle it. So just something else to keep your eye out for your local community theater. They might be doing something awesome, and it might be that.
Awesome.
We just need to talk about music now.
Yeah.
Okay. So I do have a playlist, which we will add to the show notes, where I'm keeping some of my favorite, the Spotify playlist. And I don't think you have to pay for a Spotify membership to listen. They'll just be ads. But I think I love Spotify as a music delivery service, because you can find almost anything, and it makes sharing really, really easy.
Actually, last year was right when we first sprung for a paid Spotify account, was at Christmas time, because, you know, we had relied on Pandora, and I still sometimes use Pandora if I just want to be mindless about it. But Christmas, it would be like, I wanted a specific version of a specific song. And that's what you pay for, is being able to get that.
I find that Pandora, like, the radio stations start off really strong, and then after like five songs, you end up in some weird loop where it just like kind of goes downhill. I don't know what algorithm it's using.
And that song, Alleluia, like the, you know which one I mean, is played on every, that's our running joke. It's played on every station, no matter what. Genre.
Right, exactly. Like, you went in with like some jazz swing, and then next thing you know, you're listening to some kind of choral something. Yeah. You're like, wait, no, that's not what I wanted. So this is like pretty much, this is more heavy on the stuff I grew up with, which is a lot of stuff like Harry Belafonte and Nat King Cole and stuff. But also there's some kind of jazzy, like, there's some standards for sure. Very few contemporary Christmas songs, so I don't really go for contemporary Christmas songs. That's just my thing. I'm not, just not the way I, it's not the way I roll, but that's okay.
Do you have a list you could share? I don't have a specific playlist. I feel like I've been listening to yours, but I'm pretty much the same as you taste wise. But you got me in going back into actually listening to choral music last Christmas. In high school, I sang choral music, and the holidays were like a huge time for that. And we had big concerts in this beautiful church and whatever. But I never really thought to listen to recorded choral music. I just would sing it myself, you know? Right. So last year I started listening to Mormon Tabernacle Choir on Spotify. And I don't know why that just hadn't occurred to me, but you definitely, I know that that's one of your favorites too.
It is, but you know what? I removed it from that list because it felt out of place.
Yes,
like, I definitely sandwiched in between that and like Bing Crosby and something else. So I took it off that list, but I'm now making like a separate choral list.
Well, and it's really pretty in the background, because I'm like a very active music listener. Like, usually I have music turned up and I want to like sing to it and listen to the words, but you can't do that all the time.
Right.
And so then I would tend to turn it off, but it's fun to have like the choral music is, or Nutcracker. Those are both great for background music. And then you might hear something that kind of like, you're like, ooh, turn it up, you know?
That's the kind of stuff I love to listen to, the choral stuff. If I'm like in my kitchen baking and in my case, fat snowflakes are falling outside my window. And in your case, you're just dreaming about that.
Yeah. In my case, I'm looking at a lemon tree that is overproducing right now. I'm gonna make lemonade.
So funny. So it's definitely like, I love the standards. I love Christmas music.
Yeah.
Even though like, I can't really get into it because we could sit here and talk about Christmas music for a whole hour. But I think if you listen to my list, that will give you an idea.
Yeah. I was listening to just Sinatra on the, like on the drive home from school pickup today. And that was making me happy. Like, usually it's like a mix of Sinatra and Dean Martin and all that, but it was like just a Sinatra album that was making me happy. I have a favorite newer like music though to check out for the holidays if you haven't. I've mentioned it on our holiday episodes before, and it's a group called The Lower Lights.
Yeah.
And they're a hymn revival group, and they so it's like classic hymns, but they have almost a bluegrassy like folk sound, and they're all independent musicians. But then they come together at the holidays and they do these huge sold out concerts. And then they have two full length albums and then a mini album. And so it's a lot of hymns you'd recognize. And it's like, I can't explain the style, except that like, if you imagine the best singing around the campfire harmonies of old Christmas hymns with great solos and beautiful guitar, and it's just it's awesome, and it's a little different. So
and they are on Spotify. I think when you first sent me that that album, Sarah, because you bought it for me a few years ago, it wasn't on Spotify at the time. So I would listen when I was on iTunes, but I'm just so rarely on iTunes. But now it is on Spotify, so you can listen to it there.
It's just something kind of different, and it's great. So they're called The Lower Lights. I'll link to that too.
And if I had to pick one modern Christmas song I do like, it's All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
I know, that's a really good one.
Is featured in the Love Actually.
It is. That's probably why I know that song.
Soundtrack.
Also, Whitney Houston, God rest her soul, her holiday album that was more recent, like she might even have a couple, but she has a little drummer boy that I really like. It has one of her kids, like voiceover on it, that's really cute. And she has a couple other really pop, but for some reason, I like them. I'm a Whitney fan.
Me too. Hey, there's no shame in being a Whitney fan.
No. She's great. And then, so that's, I'll just link to the whole album, but I know I like the Little Drummer Boy version. And anybody who sings like that, who can sing Oh Holy Night, is good in my book.
Yeah. Do you have an absolute favorite? This would be a good way to end, because I don't. But do you have like a number one favorite Christmas song? This is like asking me to name my favorite kid. I can't do it, but.
I have a couple. From a classic, just like a carol, O Come All You Faithful is pretty much one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites to sing. And I love listening to great Ave Marias and O Holy Nights because I love great vocals. Mm-hmm. So those are the first three that come to mind. What about you?
If I had to
can you pick five since you have five kids? Then you don't have
to. Maybe. See, I feel like I'd have to pick one from each genre. Yeah. So like that would probably take me longer than we have left. But I will say Oh Holy Night is probably my favorite, like traditional.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. When it comes into the more fun, like jazzy stuff, that's where I get a little hung up because it's like, I love Bing's version of this. I love Frank's version of that. I like Nat's version of this. And it just kind of goes on and on and on. And it's a never ending conversation. But
yes.
But if you listen to my playlist, you will find some of my faves there.
And and we all should. So we'll link to that. We'll try to link to every movie, including One Magic Christmas that we mentioned.
Oh
my
gosh.
Did we leave anything out? Movies, books.
Probably, but
yeah,
we should wrap up.
This has been fun.
This has been very fun.
So leave us a comment at themomhour.com or tweet us at themomhour. Or leave us a comment or send us an email, hello@themomhour.com, and tell us what your favorite holiday media are. Tell us what we left out. Tell us
agree with us about anything, or if you think that, you know, our suggestions are stupid, tell us that too. That's fine.
So are you already listening like daily to all this music? Is it?
Oh yeah. We start the day after Thanksgiving. We go to my sister's house. And what we've been doing the last few years is just sitting around her living room, listening to Christmas music, playing cards, or just talking. And that's like, that's how it kicks off for us.
Yeah, me too. And I'm fanatical in our house about not listening to it before Christmas. I don't care if it's on in the stores. Like, I don't get angry about it, but it's
in the car, if I like flip to the station where it's on, I'm like, no, and I'll flip off.
Oh no. Way. Yeah. It's not allowed. And so the day after Thanksgiving is like hardcore.
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening, everybody. That is it for this encore episode of The Mom Hour. Hey, Megan and I are not slacking off this December. We still have brand new episodes in your ears every Tuesday of this month. So these encore episodes are bonus for you. So we will be back with you on Tuesday with a brand new show. In the meantime, we appreciate all of your iTunes reviews. Please keep on rating and reviewing the show if you can. It helps us so much. We also love to see you on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as The Mom Hour. You can also email us hello@themomhour.com just to say hi. Thanks, everybody. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you soon.